It's not that easy to relate to kings and faraway lands and long ago times, even when it's in our sacred scriptures. But perhaps many of us can relate to sons or daughters or family members who have turned away from faith and even resent it being mentioned. I know this is very common for us. For most of us, this feels like a great loss. It's agonizing in some way as if we have lost them. David's son Absalom even turned against his father, developing an army to take over the kingdom, perhaps even be willing to kill him, his father, in the process. It's not even the last time a son of David does something like this. Well, Absalom is not a person of high character. He's vain and arrogant and ambitious. He's also likely resentful of his father. There is evidence that David can take some responsibility for not having taught his sons properly. After all, he was running a kingdom and had a lot to do, but did not take on his responsibility as father as he did as king. Sacred scripture, you know, shows us many things without giving us specifically worded moral messages. It shows us a picture, and we are to see the picture. Absalom's beautiful long hair is caught in a tree as he was riding under it. What an irony for a young man who thought so highly of his looks, and it ends up killing him. We also see David's general, Joab, going against his king's wishes in killing Absalom when he was vulnerable, against the king's wishes to take the young man captive instead. And again, David has to bear some responsibility for the killing of his own son. Joab, his general, is a ruthless murderer and had done exactly this same thing already, with no discipline coming from the king. So another lesson is told in the Bible. Letting evil people have influence over one's life without trying to do something about it will lead to evil. And David's own character, in a sense, we see has become weak, and he suffers grievously for it. He wishes he could take the place of his son, so we still see that tremendous love. He wants to take the place of his son, whom he loves so deeply, despite him being a traitor to his father and to his nation. David's forces are victorious over Absalom's, but no real victory is possible when one has turned away from God. The rebellion, begun in pride, ends in utter humiliation, and even the victorious army is made to feel ashamed. Could be anything in my own life that causes me to steal glory from God, who gave me everything I have, and to turn victories into defeats. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Romans that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So that's the standard. That's what we already know. The question is what we do about that. David's lament over his son is God's lament over our waywardness, our sin. And even if we haven't sinned anything like David or like Absalom or like Joab, but our Savior does give himself up for his sons and daughters. He does die in our place so that we might live. Through faith, we who were dead in our sins are now alive in Christ. And that's the victory. Well, this is one of the meanings of these two wonderful healings from Mark, worth much reflection and study, these beautiful passages that are interwoven, two things. The 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, whom he loves and who has not turned away from him, but is dying, and the unnamed woman with a 12-year illness. And along the way, for Jesus to heal the one, the other one comes to him and touches him. Many touches him, but only one was healed. Many received Jesus on Sunday, we might say, if we are trying to look for a comparable. But only a few have the faith to allow their lives to be transformed, to be enlivened. Faith is what unlocks the power and the grace of God, which can enter into our hearts to change us, to transform us. Touching Jesus, the woman can feel how her body has been healed. And Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Daughter, isn't that beautiful? The daughter of Jesus by faith, the son of David by biology. "Go in peace and be free of this illness," he says to her. Well, everywhere around us, there has been a tremendous loss of faith. And we know that Jesus weeps for us. He wept for those in Jerusalem, and he continues to weep for those in our day who have wandered away, his beloved. And so all we can do today, though, to regain that victory is to fall down before him like Jairus and like the healed woman. Jesus, my God, who died in my place, I thank you with my tears and my supplications that you have given me the life that I could not give myself. We know that Jesus always responds to prayer offered in faith. This is required for healing. So do we have something that we need to ask Jesus for today? That's for our reflection. Is there some issue that invites us to have faith in him who heals? The miracles that Mark tells us about are signs of how he is going to free us from the most terrible of ailments, our own sins and sin itself. Perhaps we have felt that something precious was dying inside of us or near us. Perhaps we have felt that we could not stop the bleeding in our own lives. Today we are asked to reach out in faith and to allow God to have victory in us. Of course, we must continue to pray for those near us who seem to have wandered away from faith, who are not guided by faith. We need to touch Jesus even on their behalf. Scripture tells us today that often what seems like victory is really a defeat. But it also tells us that faith in the one who appeared to be defeated but was the victor over sin and death is also our victory. So let us say with Pope Benedict, we ask God to heal so many problems, our practical needs, and this is right. But what we must ask him for insistently is an ever firmer faith so that the Lord may renew our life. And so, concluding with words from the Catechism, Jesus always responds to a prayer offered in faith. So let us join ourselves again, renew our desire to join ourselves to Christ in victory, not defeat.